Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery, Camp Chef.
Caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Bow Hunter Planet Podcast. Myself, Tim Mazarana, Dave Thomas tonight. We're joined by a very special guest, Christy Titus from Pursue the Wild. Christy, how's it going today?
You know, I've been bow hunting, and so that's all good. I can't complain.
So tell us, where have you been recently? What's been your big adventures?
I just got home from Colorado chasing elk yesterday. I was out there with my dad, and I'm like heartbroken because I came home without a bowl. Bow hunting is truly a game of inches. And I have some videos I'm going to release once Bear Archery launches this new bow line. You know, I had a bull at 10 feet. 10 feet.
10 feet.
Wow.
And he's behind this tree branch and he's screaming in my face. I need him to step out 12 inches, you know?
Yeah.
And he's screaming. He was there I was at full draw for 4 minutes.
Oof.
Waiting for this bull to move. I was shaking. I threw my cam down on my leg. And I'm like, dude, if this guy steps out, it doesn't matter where my pin is, I'm going to kill him. I literally held for 4 minutes full draw. And he just kind of turned and walked away. But I had 5 days of that. You know, wind busted me. I mean, you know, 50 yards shoulder shot. You know, it's just like, it's the most epic and heartbreaking elk hunt I've ever been on in my life.
I was going to say that sounds like, even though you didn't get one, what an amazing experience to have a bull like that calling 10 feet from you. That's gotta be cool in and of itself.
He literally puts his nose down in the dirt and like blows dirt. I can like look at his eye. I could have shot him in the eyeball. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is crazy. But yeah, it was a week of that. And I'm just like, how does this happen where you're like so close? It's a game of inches, you know?
It is for sure. And everything that can go wrong will, right? I mean, that's usually how it kind of goes. But you went out there, you said you went out there with your dad?
Yeah.
How cool is that? You hunt with him all the time?
Yeah, I hunt with my dad. You know, I introduced my dad to archery.
You did? It was, okay. Usually we hear the opposite. It's the other way around.
I know, right? Like and I also introduced my husband to bow hunting this year, and we went to Africa and he got his first archery animal. And so I'm like the girl that introduces the men in our life to bow hunting.
That's cool.
But yeah, my dad loves elk hunting. He's eaten up with it. And, you know, I wish he would have had a little different outcome on this hunt, but he had a lot of fun He said, I had the funniest video, you know, this bull my dad was like 20 yards from me when this bull's at 10 feet. So we get set up. There's another like little raghorn that was kind of thinking about coming in and wasn't a bull I wanted to shoot. And my dad's across his meadow and he's like so excited. He's got his iPhone out and he's like trying to film it. And I'm like, man, I don't like my dad sitting there. I looked at my cameraman because the bull was going to see my dad. Like, there's like no way. Like, he was not disguised and the cameraman rolls into my dad. And it's just like, I love these funny dynamics with my dad. Like, where I'm like, what is he doing that for? He's so excited to be there. He doesn't like, he just loves it, you know?
Just kind of observing nature, right? We do a lot of that in Michigan when we're, you know, because we're not spotting stock or anything like that. You know, we're sitting in a tree stand in the ground blind, waiting for them to show up. So there's some time to pass, and you kind of enjoy looking out at nature and seeing God's creation. But I tell you, man, there's nothing like seeing a bull elk come in. Those things are amazing.
Yeah, if I think about bull elk hunting, like, and calling elks, that's what I love to do. If it's time to go to bed, like, it will keep me awake. Like, my heart will start pounding and I'll start sweating. And it's pretty pathetic, actually.
Elk fever, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, yeah.
Love it. So, Christy, how did you, so you taught your dad, you taught your husband. How did you get into archery?
I hate to say this. I was dating a guy. That was a bow hunter, and you know, I'd hunted with my dad my whole life. You know, I grew up packing into the backcountry with mules, and I'd always been a hunter. And I dated a guy for a while that was super into bow hunting and calling elk. And I was like, dude, if this guy can do it, watch me.
There you go.
And so I just got kicked off with it, and I brought my dad into bow hunting. And you know, literally the best memories of my life are with my dad, like these encounters that we've had with me calling for my dad on public land, or him calling for me, or, you know, my first branch bull with my dad, you know, he was with me. And like, those are like literally the coolest memories of our life. And my dad's a workaholic, and he's 67, he's a workaholic. And I'm like, look, Dad, you need to take some more time, carve out some life, and just slow down a little and go start bow hunting more with me. So I'm really working on that. And that was kind of part of what we were doing this last week. So it makes it super special.
How fun is that?
That's cool. No, what? So what state do you guys call home?
Oregon.
Ah.
It's bow season right now, but I'm getting ready to go. I got home last night. I'm working in the office today. And I'm getting ready to go to Kansas for whitetail on Sunday. So I'm like, man, I gotta go to the dentist tomorrow. I should be bow hunting elk in Oregon, but I'm going to Kansas, but it's all good, you know?
So when you set up like a hunt for like Kansas, is this, do you work with a specific outfitter you've always worked with, or how does that work?
Yeah, I've hunted with the same outfitter for like 4 years, I think. And what's cool, like when I go with him to Missouri, I hunt the same farm every year. So I go in the spring and, you know, I'll kind of figure out like, hey, this is where I saw the deer moving last year. And in the spring, we'll set stands and move things around, because I'm almost the only one that really bow hunts this particular farm. And so it's been a lot of fun. I'll see the same deer after year, and they kind of break your heart. Like, oh, that's that wide 10, you know, or that's that 164. And, you know, you'll get a glimpse of these deer, and sometimes just running across fields and whatnot. So it's been a lot of fun because I feel like it's, this is kind of a home place for me, because I put so much into being there. You know, I go there twice a year to try to make sure that my fall is really productive, and I'm very invested in doing that. I don't want to show up somewhere and have someone just hang stands for me. I'm like, I'm coming out there in this year I came out in February, but sometimes I come out in March. We'll set stands and hang them where, you know, where I was hunting in November, where we were seeing deer move through. And you know, it's weird. Like last year was totally an anomaly. Normally we have a north wind. And so in the spring we'd hung stands for, you know, primarily north wind. And then last year we had so much south wind. Like I felt like I got caught with my pants down. I'm like,
yeah, no doubt.
Like I've set all these stands for a north wind and we're getting a lot of south wind. I'm like, what am I going to do? Like in the middle of the night, we're like running around the woods, like monkeys climbing trees, moving stands, you know, like, what? But that's part of it, you know.
That is absolutely. I mean, we do that a lot. Even if we're actually going to be doing that coming up. Like we have our whole setup coming up. We put out all our trail cams, all that kind of stuff. And now, you know, looking through the trail cam footage and all that kind of stuff, we're like, well, I don't know. I think we're going to move this one here and that one there. And you know, we got to play off what's actually going on in the property, because that's the cool thing about about whitetail hunting is that it changes over time, right? Yeah. Like early season is so much different than late season. The rut is a way different hunting the rut than it is hunting early season. And it creates that challenge, you know, that you got to beat it, right? And you got the competition with yourself that you got to figure this out. And it's always fun to do that. So
we literally moved our stand last year. We, you know, David put the stand in this spot. He thought it was going to be good. It was a new area. Like I said, we had a weird wind. So we were kind of spitballing. I moved that stand in 40 yard increments 3 times to get the stand in the right spot. And man, I blew it on a good deer, but I mean, you have to do that sometimes. You have to be like, man, I they're coming through right here and you think you're in the right place and then it's just not quite right. And then, you know, you pick up in the middle of the night and you move again. Sometimes we'll move midday. Not yep. very often in the rut, but if we're feeling pretty confident that there's not deer bedded nearby, we'll move. But we jump around literally. I feel like monkeys going around the woods, moving around trees. I don't know. I always feel like your first set's almost your best set too. You know, you haven't had that time to really blow deer out and get your wind and stuff. So I try to be as prepared as I can for that first set.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So while you guys were talking, I did some site approvals that you should see on your phone by now that gives you approval to talk about the new bear lineup.
Oh, damn, we got it.
So I had to do some side text real quick with our friend at Bear Archery's marketing team to say, hey, are we allowed to talk about this? Because we're both under the same NDA. And and on top of it, when this video launches, we'll actually be after the launch. So this is a perfect time. So yeah. This being said, I personally have not shot the bow yet. It's at our studio waiting to be our bow review. But I guess, can you tell us from your perspective so far what, you know, you've been hunting with it? It sounds like. So give us a little bit about this refine in your mind.
So this bow is a little bit longer draw length than I'm accustomed to shooting. You know, it, the minimum draw on it's 26 and a half, but I'm shooting it well. It's 33 inches axle to axle, so it's a little bit longer, lot more forgiving in my hand. But what they've done is enhanced. Bear Archery is really good at having a bow that's audibly super quiet. So like when you shoot it side by side next to other bows, the sound is quiet, which is good for hunting jumpy critters. But they've not done always necessarily like rated the highest in how the felt vibration was. So they went through this, the new refine, and they, not only is it quiet, but it is absolutely dead in your hand. So that vibration's gone, super forgiving to shoot. And it's literally, I'm pulling more weight than I've ever pulled with a bow. My speeds are faster than they've ever been because I can pull so much more weight. Super happy with the overall performance of the bow. Just, I mean, I'm laying them in very confidently at distances. I mean, my biggest thing is just, it's not that I can't shoot accurately, you know, at 70 yards. It's how much time can an animal move during that time of flight at 70 yards. So for me, I really limit the shots I take. But the bow is capable of shooting and is so smooth to shoot, and I'm super thrilled with it. Like, it's pretty.
So what I noticed on the bow, so I took it out of the box. I got to play with it a little bit. I pulled the sheet on the catalog just to go over the specs and all the information. Yeah. And one of the things that came to mind, when I first saw this was the grizz grip. And then when I grabbed the bow, I was like, oh, this is a different feel. And then I called the marketing guy at Bear while I was holding it. And I said, is this the grizz grip? Cause this feels different than he's like, yeah, that's not, you know, so there's a slim grip, which is what we had in the redemption. Mm-hmm. And now this new grizz grip, which is what's on this bow, which I'm really excited to show everybody on our test live show, but it is a really cool feel to it. And then they also got the Versa grip. So they had definitely a variety of grips now, which I love. And I brought that up to them because I said to them, you know, is there any way to get the perception grip onto the newer bow models? Like, and I said this like last year, I'm like, you know, I love the perception, and, you know, it wasn't their best selling bow, but the bow was expensive. It was a little bit different, but I love the grip. Like I thought, man, this grip is sweet, you know, and it had this wood inlay. And so this, I guess, was kind of a part of how they got to that is what I was told at least, but Yeah, it's pretty cool looking.
It's sweet. Like, they did this like tan color and then this old school like Fredbear style, like,
oh, sick.
Like original camo on the limbs.
That's awesome.
It just looks sick.
That's the Refine, right? The one you're shooting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they also launched the Whitetail Legend Pro, which I think I have over there as well. And I'll try to.
Seven of them that they're launching.
There's a ton. Alaskan, which is a little bit bigger. 32 axle. 33 was the.
Here's my copious note taking. You guys want to see what a student.
Hey, you're like, you could just print off this thing. This had all the.
You print. I am like on the downgraded version over here. I have to do my own catalog. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. But
he did say seven, but I see six on here. I don't know. I'm missing one here.
I've got seven. So there's the Species EV.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, you're right.
That's the price point, Bo. That one's going to replace the current Species. $420 roughly. It's a solo cam, but they've added more vibration dampening to that bow.
That's what I love about Bear is their ability to put out a bow at a price point that is very shootable.
They have every price point now.
It's ridiculous what they're able to put out there with the tech. So
yeah, and that Species is like 320. Is your IBO on that? It's 3.8 pounds, 6¾ brace height, 30 inches axle to axle. It's got 80% let off, 23.5 to 30.5 draw length. And it's the same riser that's on the Legit that's on that one. Let's see, the next bow, the Resurgent is going to, or Resurgence LD, which is just a long draw. And that's going to replace the Species long draw. And then they're also going to have the regular Resurgence, which is a new bow edition. It's got a new riser. It's got a new cam that's going to be similar to a hybrid cam. It's going to have an 80% let off. You're going to get those hybrid speeds. So it's like 335 feet a second, 3.9 pounds, 6¼ brace, 32 inches axle to axle. And that one's rolling from 25.5 to 31 inch.
That's the Alaskan?
That's the Resurgence.
Oh, Resurgence. Okay.
It's $599 is your map on that. And then there you have a new flagship bow, the Escalade, which is going to be replacing the Divergent EKO. And that one's going to roll in at just shy of $750. They added the vibration reduction system. They have a new riser on there, a new string stop. They've got a grip. So they've got a midsize and an angled grip. And then it's rolling at 339 feet a second, 4.1 pounds, 6½-inch brace, 31 inches axle to axle, and it's rolling 26 to 30 inch on the draw length on that one. Do we roll through all of these?
No, that's good. Don't worry, there'll be plenty of content going around this Bear launch.
I can keep rolling, but I'm shooting the Refine right now, so that's that awesome. That one still has the EKO cam that we really liked, the Divergent and the Redemption.
The one that was interesting to me was the Alaskan, because they have a new cam called the DHC. This is a hybrid cam, they say. So I was interested in that one. I have that one over there. I got to look at it in detail. But
that one's cool. Only offered for online sales.
Oh, okay. So
that one's
direct to consumer then?
Yeah, it's offered to dealers to be sold online. So
dealers
put that bow online and offer that bow. So that's kind of where that one fits into that's what makes the Alaskan kind of special.
So Christy, is the Refine the one that you just went out elk hunting with then?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing.
I literally had the bow for 6 days before I went on my elk hunt. I'm like, okay, guys. Well, I got to get this bow.
There's no better time to test it than 10 feet away.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up.
She would have been the main pitcher for the marketing.
I'm crying right now. Thank you very much. Like, I have to pull it 45 yards. He steps out and he's looking. And he turns, he quarters away. I'm like, literally go to touch my release.
It's going down, yeah.
Bolts. Like, as soon as, it's like he saw me touch my release, like he saw me prep my trigger, and I'm like getting ready to give her, like quartering away, this thing's getting smoked.
He's like, I'm not going to be no marketing campaign. He got the hell out of there. Yeah. He's like, I ain't going to be no front page.
Heartbreak after heartbreak.
Well, it could be worse. We had a guy that went out there a couple weeks ago himself, and he had one, I think it was at 20 yards or just less than 20 yards, actually. And he lines up a shot, and something happened with his, or he forgot his range finder or something like that, and he knew where it was. And he goes to shoot it, and he completely misses at 20, and he just completely misses. And he's going back, and the story that he was telling us is going back, and he's telling his buddy about how he missed and all that kind of stuff. And it turns out when he's telling the story, he's like, yeah, I aimed it with my top pin, and he stops. He's like,
no, bottom pin.
He aimed it with his bottom pin, and he stops, and he's like, oh man,
that was on the podcast.
My bottom pin.
That happened on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
That was on the
right.
Podcast.
I was thinking that was it. Isaac. That
no,
went.
It was
full blackout mode.
No, wasn't it Brandon from Strut and Buck?
Yeah, it was. It absolutely was Brandon. Now that you're saying it.
No, it wasn't him. No, it wasn't. No. It was Camp Chef. It was Ryan from Camp Chef in Utah. Yeah, remember he started it off with that.
It was. Yes, because he's right out there, and it was
guys,
like in his backyard. He's done
this a million times.
He's like, I probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, right? And it was just so funny. It's like you're telling the story, and you're like, "Yeah, I use my bottom pin, lined it up," and he's just like, "Oh, my bottom pin." It was the funniest thing.
So, Christy, I got a
moment in the middle of your podcast.
Uh-huh. It was so funny. So, Christy, I got to bring up Ruger because we've actually been working on a new segment of ours called the Gun Hunter Planet and Gun Hunter Planet podcast, kind of a sister thing to what we're doing with the bow hunter stuff. But so I've been buying a lot of Rugers lately. Like I feel like me and Ruger are like this, but they don't know that we're like this. You know what I mean? Like I've bought so many Rugers in the last couple months. And I can say this, you know, pretty clean that the Ruger now in Michigan, we have this thing where like we use a 450 Bushmaster.
Yeah.
And a 350 Legend, and Ruger's makes both those, and they're amazing. Like absolutely hands down amazing.
The Bushmaster has a little punishment to it.
Yes.
If that thing
beautiful.
Well, the 350 Legend is like shooting a 22.
It's a beautiful gun. Yeah, actually, that's what I used for bear hunting last couple weeks ago, but I didn't get one. But I just have to say, then I was so intrigued. I started buying their pistols. I was like, man, I want to get this LCP Max. This thing's badass. And sure enough, I love it. I bought the LCP 2.
You have that one before I do. I don't even have the LCP Max yet.
I just bought it. That's why. The story. I was like, I just give me one of them. But I had the LCP 2. Which one? The Max 9?
The Max 9, but not the LCP Max.
That's a nice gun. It's bigger, though. That little LCP Max is so tiny. I mean, I love it. I'm like, this is the best carry gun you can imagine. It's so tiny, you know. But man, I love Ruger.
You know, when I started
experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the Adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
I shot long range. I love shooting long range. And when Ruger approached me to work with them, I was doing some other stuff and you know, we kind of ended up finally coming around to work together. And when I got my first Ruger rifle, I could not believe, number one, two things, I guess, the price, but the performance from the firearm. Like that Ruger American rifle, it retails under $500. And that's the same basic like components of the action that they make the Ruger Precision rifle off of. That gun for me with hunting ammo is sub half minute. Like That Little Ruger American rifle for $499 can like shoot darts. It's flat and accurate and amazing. And I actually took, you know, a $499 rifle on a Dolce hunt. Wow. The thing flat shoots. Like, it's, for me, it's really hard. Like, I look at other firearms manufacturers and I'm like, sure, there's other people that make good guns, but Ruger makes everything. They make personal protection pistols. They make, you know, the PC carbine, which is great for shooting sports. They've got the Ruger Precision Rimfire, which is awesome for a little training rifle. They've got the RPR, which is great for long range shooting. They've got that in, you know, Magnum calibers, and they've got hunting rifles. They've got, I mean, literally like everything. The only thing that Ruger doesn't have is a muzzle loader and a shotgun. And I'm cool without having either one of those, you know, like I've got an old Ruger Red Label shotgun. I take turkey hunting, but what I love about Ruger is they make guns for everyone. So it's not like they have a woman's gun. And I hate the word huntress, right? Because it's like calling a doctor a doctress. Like, it's like you're a doctor, I'm a hunter. There's no S on this. And Ruger is really awesome because I don't feel like they have that kind of shrink it and pink it mentality. Like, there's small dudes out there too that have short lengths of poles. And so Ruger is just really responsive in a lot of their firearms. There's spacing systems that you can put in the buttstock of the rifle, and you can put them in and take them out depending on who's using the firearm. And I think that's really smart for them. They don't have to market like, hey, this is a woman's gun. Like, hey, this is a gun and we're going to build it for people. And I love that. Like, that's awesome to me.
Have you had a chance to shoot or hunt with this Super Red Hawk?
No, I got one last year, and I have been meaning to do a hunt. I'm looking at doing some stuff in Texas next year, so that might be
place.
The jam for that.
Yeah, this thing looks unbelievable. In fact, do you work with any optic sponsors?
I shoot for Night Force.
Okay, yeah. So I was looking at like scopes for this gun as well, because one of my goals is I want to get a deer with a pistol.
Yeah.
So I started looking into the scopes for it. You know, what would I need? This Super Red Hawk. I couldn't find this gun anywhere. Like, I've been looking for this gun for months. You can't. They're sold out. Every time they get one, they sell it. You know, but I found it in 10mm, but I really wanted the 44 if I was going to do it, because it's around $1,200, this gun. So if I was going to buy it, I'd want to get the 44. Because then, I mean, what do you think for distance for something like that you could go?
If you have an optic, you can go a little. I mean, I think you can shoot like out to 100 yards with an optic, but inwards without an optic, I would max out at like 50.
Yeah,
but
that makes sense.
I'm not an expert, right? Like, I mean,
that's
not like, there's people that have done more than that than me. So
tell us, speaking of that,
is if you're, you know, looking at like typical archery ranges, you can go no optic. But if you want to stretch the capability of that cartridge, you definitely need an optic.
Yeah. I know. I agree 100%. I was thinking the same thing, like get that gun with a 6 scope on it. That's a pistol scope. And then, you know, take those shots. But speaking of Ruger, I guess, tell us a little bit about Wild and Uncut, your new podcast you're working on that's sponsored by Ruger. So, I mean, this is a good transition into it since we're talking about Ruger, I guess.
Well, so I don't know if you guys have watched my show or not, but it's pretty cinematic and really super produced, and I love it. It's beautiful. I'm trying this year to kind of go a little bit more like in the moment, like hunting feel. So this last episode we just shot has more of like that feel. But I wanted to do something with my series that was more personalized. Like, I feel like if you watch my series, you really don't get to know my personality at all, which I'm pretty crazy. and that doesn't get conveyed at all. Like,
we didn't say that, by the way.
Yeah, we said you were crazy.
We didn't say that.
We said you're so crazy.
I'm fine with it. I like totally know. it's good. But I am like a super energetic person, and I'm like, ah. And that, you don't see any of that on my show. Like, it's so choreographed. I mean, not choreographed, but I do voiceover, it's episodic. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I wanted to do something that was like more out there and just personalized. And so I started the Wild and Uncut podcast, and I called it Wild and Uncut because that's what it is. Like, you know, episode number two, my girlfriends, Jen and Arissa from Girls with Guns, were sitting in my living room drinking wine, talking about Jen's daughter peeing on my porch, you know, like it's more like fun. After the hunt, you know, we're doing some podcasts like hunt recaps, like, you know, my dad tells stories he shouldn't tell kind of thing. And yeah, you guys are rolling on it.
That's your living room? That is awesome.
That's my living room. So we're sitting around drinking wine.
That's so cool.
I launched a podcast tonight with Miranda Huff tonight. And we shot that in Montana in Big Sky Country. And so I just wanted to be like more personal. I'm going to launch one with Josh Carney. And I don't know if you guys know Josh Carney, but that dude is super funny. Like, I bust out a full rap of the Humpty Dance during the podcast. Can't make the stuff up. Like, it's been fun. So I just like the authenticity of the podcast, and it just gives my, you know, people a different perspective of who I am and what I do. And then it gives me an opportunity to interview some really cool people. I have Terry Vaughn from Dirt Training. He was on Top Shot, and then he does dangerous individual recognition training. I did a podcast with him, and Jimmy Herman, the musician. I did one with him. I have a bunch of stuff from the Well-Armed Woman Conference, where I've got one launching in 2 weeks where I interviewed a woman named Casey Woods, and she's the executive director of Forge, which they make a lot of gun safe stuff, but they also are doing a thing called the Overwatch Project, which is a voluntary project to help combat veteran suicide. So we talk about, We talk about that, but then I did like a monologue on the end of that where I talked about some of the legislative policy that Nancy Pelosi is trying to shove down the throats of Americans in the name of public health and safety, which is not constitutional. And so I did kind of a monologue on that. So I'm doing a little bit of, you know, some politics in there and some fun. And it's just kind of, I'm all over the place.
Okay. So the more and more we talk, I can see the crazy in a good way, but yes, no, that sounds actually, and that's the funnest thing. Like, that's what Dave and I love to do, is just kind of sit around. And, you know, with these podcasts, we're not sitting here with a piece of paper going, did I ask that? Right. It's kind of on the fly, open format, wherever we go, we kind of go with it. And I love that. That's what I love listening to as well. So that I think is an awesome format, because people want that variety. I mean, they're there listening to you. They want to know who you are. They want to know the craziness that's inside, right? that's kind of the way it is.
Yes, I know.
So that's fun.
Yeah, we do the same thing. This allows us to do more things. Like when we talk on here, we say more stuff than you'd ever see in our normal test lab shows that we do. And to me, it's fun. You can like really, and what I like about it is talking to people like yourself, like, cause you get to know people better. You know, it's like, I didn't know anything about Christy Titus till you're on the show. And I'm like, oh, she is crazy. You know, I just never realized. Or how cool your living room looks, you know.
We're just being supportive.
Just backing up your personal testimony here. It's fine.
No, but yeah, I mean, it's gotta be fun for you guys to work with like Bass Pro, Cabela's. It looks like you work with, and you work with some of the same brands we do with Dead Downwind and the Arcus brands. There's just so many great people in the industry, and I think it really kind of shows when you start talking. Like, for instance, we just had Arcus on the other day, so we went through the whole lineup of Dead Downwind and Tinks and all that great stuff.
I'm doing a ton of videos for them on Tinks products and Dead Downwind stuff, and we're launching that out as the season progresses. And they make such great stuff. You know, they're such a good company, and I'm really thankful to be part of that family of brands. Like the Trophy Taker, I'm using those new ATACR broadheads right now. Well, they're not new, but they're new for me. Those were the Ramcat Diamondback Shooter. And those things are freaking wicked. Yeah.
I love so it. You yeah, mainly... does a really good job, put out really good quality products for sure. So I saw your video that I think you just posted one on the Buck Pucks, which is kind of their newer thing. Those hang almost like a scent wafer, but those hang on, they almost look like a lollipop actually, but I don't think you want to taste them at all, but you just basically go out and hang them up. And they're just such cool ideas that they come out with.
No myth. Well, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've like doused myself in deer pee, and it's
on purpose or on, like, is that the crazy coming out or is that no?
The box eliminates that. It's like no mess. Okay.
I love it.
Hey, Chrissy, tell us about everything else you got going on, because you have a lot of things going on here. So it looks like you got some jewelry and buckles and a whole bunch of stuff. So tell us a little bit about that.
Man, I don't know how I do all the things I do. So I have a jewelry line with Montana Silversmiths, and I launched it actually in conjunction. Like Cabela's was my original vendor exclusively when we launched like 7 years ago. But I wanted to do something different with them. So my Montana Silversmiths is iconic in the Western jewelry industry. They do all the buckles for the NFR. Like, they're big into the cowboy kind of Western buckle scene. And you know, with every buckle, there's a story, and that's kind of their tagline. But they always did a plated silver jewelry. So it wasn't solid sterling. And, yeah, so that's – you can order a custom buckle through me, through Montana Silversmiths, and do some stuff with your elk ivories. But basically my jewelry, what I approached them with is I wanted to do something that was solid sterling silver. So the goal for me with my jewelry line, as you guys are seeing on the page right now, is I wanted stuff that's solid sterling, natural stone, and would be more of like a keepsake piece. So what happens with a lot of plated jewelry for women, if you wear it for a while, the sterling kind of wears off and the patina underneath shows and it just loses that luster. So we designed an entire jewelry collection kind of around the outdoors and antlers and natural
stuff. I love that. Yeah.
So that it's something like if your daughter kills her first deer, you can get her a buck shed necklace, or your wife kills her first elk, and stuff that would be kind of almost like an heirloom quality without being super expensive.
So the neighbor kid, he's in high school. He makes, this is crazy, but he makes outside. I'll see him all the time. He makes jewelry by hand outside, and turquoise is one of the blocks he uses. He showed me one time he had it in a solid format, and he took it down to something like this for a ring or something. It was the coolest thing. I was like, what the hell? He grinded it all the way down to this. It was incredible. Yeah. It's so cool to watch.
They do a really great job. Like I said, they've been in the business for 50 years, and the jewelry collection is huge. And every year we add like 15 to 25 new pieces.
Yeah, this is cool.
Styles constantly. So every year there's fresh looks from, you know, you guys are seeing some freshwater pearl stuff on there, and white howlite, which is like a white turquoise, and incorporated some of my branding in that. It's been a lot of fun. To see that grow and develop. Now my jewelry's in like 500 stores across the country.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's so cool. I love the American veteran feel that you have to some of this stuff too. I'm a big supporter of veterans, love our country, but to do that kind of stuff and just bring light to all the veterans that have served for this country. I love when people do that. And so thank you for that. I think that's absolutely awesome.
Yes, we take a percentage of the proceeds from that Freedom Isn't Free collection, and I donate it to Wounded Warrior Outdoors. But they just did a jewelry collection with Taya Kyle. So what I'm going to do is just kind of back off from doing that American kind of jewelry and let her own that space. And I think she's a better person to kind of represent that and do that. So
that's cool, though.
These two hats are sick.
Yeah, I usually have a lot more hats, but I haven't been to trade shows, so I'm kind of paring back on my inventory a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, but I like the old trucker styles, and
you have a lot of fun with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like it. It looks good here too when you're wearing it. It looks really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, no, so it's a lot of good stuff on there, and
I've got a lot going on here.
This year we're producing, I think I've got like 20 episodes I'm doing, and then. Wow. 50 commercial segments and then 24 podcasts.
Woo. Jeez.
Can you even find time to hunt?
Yeah. I'm burning it down. But I've become really efficient at, you know, what I do. So I've got really good systems. And then I used to have just like a full-time producer, and now I've expanded into having more like a team. So I have one guy that does all my audio podcast, another guy that does the video podcast. I have field producers that I work with. I have another guy that produces my tip segments, and then another guy another production company that's doing all my editing on my full episodes. And I'm, like I said, I'm kind of working on a little bit of a little change on the format of those. So, you know, I stay really busy. Plus I shoot long range competitions in the spring. And then I'm doing a ton of stuff with Pistol this year. Like we, Jen and Arissa and I did a ton of content creation for the Well-Armed Woman chapter leaders. And, I'm doing a bunch of defensive pistol training this fall, and then I'm going to roll into a bunch of defensive pistol training with revolvers in the spring and just kind of keep growing on that as well. Cause I'm also a NRA pistol instructor. So, I try to do a lot of things. I think there's a saying like master of none. And
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Well, you Greater put us men. To shame for sure. So
you got a lot going on. I'm going to share this with you real quick. I want you to see this. Cause I just got it done. And I know you love like content like I do, especially like creating things. I just had this done for the other thing we're working on. I just wanted you to see it and hear it. Cause this is one of the coolest things I had done. And this one, I have you guys see it real quick. Let's see here. Let me know. Can you hear it?
You're listening to the Gun Hunter Planet podcast, your gateway into the great outdoors. So sit back, relax over a campfire, and enjoy the show. Gun Hunter Planet, where guns and heritage come together.
That's awesome.
I love the music at the end, man.
Do you guys like the voice? That voice is serious money. That was not like a normal voice. That's a professional voice. That guy does John Deere, Ford, all these major.
I was going to say he sounded so familiar, but I've heard him on the Ford commercials.
Yes.
No doubt. Okay.
He's no joke. Like I had to pay for commercial rights just to do that. And like, there was a ton, but my point is when you said like you have a guy who does all this and does this audio, I start thinking about it. So I start hiring out like tons of stuff. Just like, hey, you know what? I need an intro. I got to hire this out. I'm not going to do it myself anymore. It just takes a long time to do all that stuff, you know?
I have a guy who does my website and he's fantastic. And I call him, I'm like, hey, John, like, can you help me with this, this, and this? And he like just does it.
Yeah.
And then he'll bill me every 6 months. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
But I can't do, you know, you just can't manage everything. And there's, everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. And I'm learning, you know, with me, with my content team, you know, it's a pretty big team, but they're very efficient and I'm learning to be efficient, but you know, I wrote 50 commercial segments this year and
wow.
50, like yeah. I write
yeah, that's them, a lot.
I wrote them, I location prep for every, I mean, I'm doing all of it. Like it's just
travel plans too. I mean, that takes up quite a bit.
Well, I'm getting good. Like, I don't know if anybody cares is listening how this works, but I've gotten pretty efficient at it to where I'll do like production days and I'll shoot like 4 or 5 segments in a day. I storyline it out, I write it, script it, prop it out and shoot stuff. And then, you know, you become a lot more efficient with your time. Instead of saying, well, I think we'll do this. Or if I'm on location, like this last week, I shot 5 segments while I was elk hunting. So I had everything rolled out with what I wanted, you know, my scripting to be, and then we'll just throw B-roll over it in post-production later on. And so then it's more authentic to being on location. So I've gotten a lot better with my efficiencies is like using my production time wisely instead of wasting time.
Do you own the cameras or do you guys lease or rent the cameras?
No, I hire out subcontractors. So the people that I hire for different projects bring their own equipment. But I have all my own podcast equipment, so I am doing that. And my husband's really good. You know, he's helping a lot with stuff. And
making your guys, slave, I like it.
When you're filming for like commercial stuff for like let's say Ruger or Cabela's, whatever it is, are they usually filming in like Red's cameras or Sony's?
Just Sony's or Canon's. It doesn't really matter. I mean, everything's 4K. Like when I upload my podcast video to like Facebook and YouTube, I can do like 1080. But Facebook, an hour long podcast, the video file is so big.
Yeah.
I just put it up in 720.
Yeah. So do we. Yeah. This will end up in 720 because there's no point. It's not like, you know, most time people are listening, you know.
Yeah.
But. All right, Christy, thanks for joining us. I appreciate this tremendously. And pursuethewild.com and also You could go there, guys, to get all the information about Christy. There's also all her connections to Instagram and YouTube and all that. Make sure you go and subscribe to all that. You're not going to miss it. And I'm truly excited for your podcast. I think it's going to be really cool. And I love the format. I love that you're just chilling in your living room. I think that's legit.
Well, not all of them are like that. Like, I have a whole coming out from the Well-Armed Woman that we shot there. And it's, you know, I've got some really people on that. That one's not quite the same living room vibe, but you're going to have a mix of both, you know, the living room vibe. And then, you know, when I met events like TWA. It's super chill.
Awesome. That's awesome.
We love that.
I am going to be launching on Carbon TV.
Ooh, oh, coming awesome. Over. Mm-hmm. Glad to hear. We're already over there. That's exciting.
Yeah. So I'm working on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram for content. And then I just signed with Carbon TV. So I'm putting everything on Carbon. So if you guys are Carbon watchers, pay attention.
We're Carbon watchers and creators. That's exciting. That's really cool.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait, see your local Honda dealer today.